On that one song that we sang tonight, well, what's her name, Grace? Melissa Hesler? You know, I watch her all the time. I think, why does she get so excited whenever she praises? And Grace sent me something the other day. She had terrible crippling arthritis, right? And what? Give her a microphone.
She said she had skin and bone arthritis.
Skin, bone, arthritis.
And bone arthritis, both. And you want to finish this story? And she was singing one of the songs that the Lord gave them, because he always gives them songs they create from the Holy Spirit. And it was a while, and the Lord stopped her and said, you've been singing scripture over yourself. This is what I have given you. And she realized that she's been healed of all that. And it was given a song to her by the Lord, and she didn't even realize it.
What is it? White as Snow? Is that what it is?
White as Snow.
And for 4 years, she sang that song in her home. God gave it to her, and she wouldn't realize it was all about herself. And she loves the Lord. She appreciates what he did for her. And she really does praise him. Gets so lost in the spirit, she just goes on and on and on. Evidently, y'all aren't thankful for what God did for you. Oops, that was a bad thing to say, wasn't it? Because you have a hard time praising the Lord. But the whole band didn't have the arthritis and the skin, whatever. And the whole band worships the Lord just like she does, her and her husband do. I think it's time that the religious spirits leave the church. And the true Spirit of God abides within the church. You know, and God's trying to get us to really worship him and praise him. But I still don't see that true worship and praise going forth. And, you know, that's what's going to bring the revival. True worship and true praise. That's what we always had. It was through the worship and praise that God moved. And he's not changing. In the Bible, he always sent the praisers out before the battle, right? So, you know, evidently you're not doing your homework at home, or else you just aren't yet sold out to God 100%. Or you would really learn how to praise him like they do. And this is why I use the videos, because God's laid upon my heart so you can see what true praise is all about. So that you can see what being lost in the spirit is all about. It's not about people watching what you do. It's not about nothing but you and God. And when you totally submit yourself to God, you just don't care about anything, because it's just you and God in the room. All right? I really want you to think about that. We want revival. Do you really? And what kind of an attitude you bring into the house of God? Have you been worshiping at home? If you've been worshiping at home, then you'll bring that into the house of God. And I want to bring something else up while I'm talking about that. I was told that some of you are offended by Isaiah's coming up here and playing the piano or the drums. And if that's the case, then I'm not going to make him stop. Because that boy does this 24/7 at home, believe me. 1-2 o'clock in the morning, he's down there beating the drums. Or he's up walking up down a hallway playing a guitar. This boy loves the Father so much. He makes up songs, you know, they're not rap songs. He makes up songs about God and the church. And he wants to preach. Now, I've been reading where 3- and 4-year-olds are prophesying. And God says, suffer not the little children to come unto me, right? He tells us we need to become like little children. So if you're offended by little Isaiah, I'm not going to stop him. And I think you might have a little bit of a religious spirit. And, you know, I was thinking about this last night. And what about whenever you have your bands? They're up here, you know, trying to get everything tuned in, right? You don't fuss about that. I've been in churches where that might happen for a half hour. Nobody says a word because, after all, they're getting ready to sing. Well, he's just him. He is God inside out. You know, I was fussing with him last night about something, and he has a habit that he's always right. He tried to tell me a heater was an air conditioner. And so he's going to show me today it's an air conditioner. But at 3 o'clock in the morning, I went hearing about an air conditioner and a heater. So I said to him, I said, honey, I'm sorry I got upset with you. And he said, I'm sorry I was upset with you too. He said, when we do that, I just like to leave the game. That's what I would just like to walk out of the game, he said. You know, his little mind, he's just, he's precious. And, you know, he's not out there on drugs. He's not out there, you know, with calendars hair all different colors. And he's not out there doing demonic things. In fact, he doesn't like demonic things. He's in the house of God, and he's in the house of God, too. And he's just worshiping the Lord. I think the reason why so many of you are messed up is because you were never taken, first of all, taken into the house of God. Second of all, you were never allowed to worship the Father. Because I remember properly when I was growing up, you shut up and sit still. Be quiet. Don't move. Don't do anything. And so we were never brought into the crowd. We were kids, so we didn't belong with the grown-ups. Thank God. You know, because the grown-ups weren't following God anyhow. But God isn't doing that anymore. He is using little children. I was just explaining to somebody yesterday, you guys don't understand, you young people, don't understand what you have stepped into. One of the greatest moves of God, the young kids. 17, 18-year-old boys out there preaching the gospel. They're not looking for some bush to lay under. They're looking for Jesus Christ. And I'm sorry if you feel offended by any of my children, because you know what? I was taught right on when I first opened a church, watch your children because the devil's going to be after them. And pastors have the worst trouble with their children than anybody else because the enemy's after your kids. And if the enemy can get your kids messed up, most of the time he has your ministry, right? Because I've seen some kids can really be messed up, including my older ones. But I'm not gonna get rid of my children. I'm not gonna discourage them from following God. I'm just not gonna do that. I try to get Brett's kids to follow God, and they look at me like, "Do you have two heads or three?" You know. I'd rather they look at me and say, "I'm so happy in Christ." Right? Come on. And see, you have to know who I am anyhow. From little up, I always went to my grandmother took me to church when I was 3 months old. Do you know I remember that? My mother had bright red hair. She was standing on the porch. She headed me to my grandmother. I was only 3 months old, but I remember that. And she kissed me on the forehead and said, "Barbara, you good? Be good for Grandma." You know, and I couldn't even talk or do nothing at 3 months old. But my grandmother took me to church. And I always went to church. And I lived in the country. And I would go down the road and knock on the door and say, "You kids want to come to church with me?" And I took so many kids to the church that they told me to quit because they didn't have any more room for them. So I've always been around little kids, always raised kids, you know. So I'm a kid person, I guess. Amen. Jesus was a kid person, wasn't he? I think more parents need to make the kids aware of what Christ is all about. You might not have them out there doing the dumb things they're doing. All right. I just love God, and I love his whole word. In his whole word, he keeps telling us, "Come to me as little children." As little children. Every now and then I have to remind myself of that. Because I try to come to him as a big grown-up adult, and I'm not. I'm nothing without God, absolutely nothing. You aren't either, in case you don't know that. You're where you are today because of God, right? I love that last song. He didn't have to come, but he always does. He doesn't have to show up in your home. He doesn't have to show up in our church meetings, but he always does. He knows what you're all about, what you're going to do, and he comes and shakes his head and says, "I can't believe this is going on." But he still comes, doesn't he? You know, the world is bad right now, and it's getting worse. I don't know who told you it was getting better. It's getting worse. And that is not a negative thing. That is a positive thing. Because if we understand the truth right up front, that it's getting worse, we're going to get stronger in God. And we're going to become the true warriors of Christ that we're supposed to be. And we aren't going to run around here being overwhelmed by the enemy. Now, God's been saying that this younger generation is coming up is going to be so wild for Christ that every devil in hell is going to run from them. And I'm sure not going to make them kids stop. Because us grown-ups have not done a good job of keeping the devil away. Right? Come on. Be a good example for your kids. You encourage them in the Lord. Enough parents are out there doing drugs with their kids and drinking with their kids. Why don't we encourage our kids, if we're true children to God, why aren't we encouraging our kids in the Lord? Food for thought. Be as it like a little child. Quit being religious. Quit getting full. You know, pride is raising its ugly head in the house of God again. The other day I thought about myself, and I thought, why am I thinking? That's very, 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 very prideful. Why is that coming? And God said, it's in the atmosphere. So if you're one that was always prideful, you better be, because I was never prideful, and I'm still not. But if you're one that's been prideful, then you better watch, because you're getting ready to be taken down. Because the enemy knows what button to push in you. All right? Be careful of that. It's in the atmosphere. When it's in the atmosphere, it pulls on everybody. Not just one or two, but on everybody. Well, Father, I truly do thank you, and I praise you, and I give you all honor and all glory. Father God, make us all like little children this morning. Let us come to you, Father God, just totally free and innocent, not with any agenda on our minds, but Father God, totally free to serve you, to worship you, to learn of your word, and to be all that you called us for it to be. And Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, as I was praying that, Jesus' parents tried to discourage him, didn't they? Amen. God just showed me that. Because they said, what are you doing here? He said, I'm about my Father's business. Amen. So don't get too, excited here. Jesus' parents did the very same thing. All right. Well, some of you are laughing now. Got somebody else that's in trouble now. All right. Everybody's wanting miracles. Everybody's wanting signs and wonders. So God wants me to teach you about healing and what does it mean to pray with authority. So Mark 6, verse 7 says, and Jesus called the 12 to himself and began to send them out two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits. Jesus gave his first disciples power over unclean spirits. And Mark 16:14 says, later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart. What did he rebuke? Their unbelief and their hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to who? Every creature, just not to the Catholics or to the dogs or to the cats, but to every creature, every denomination. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Now look what he says here. He who believes when you preach the word to him and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. So if people don't believe you, don't worry about it. That's not your problem. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. This is the things that if you're a true believer, a true humble believer of God's, these are the things that's going to be, that should be happening. Not going to be, but should be happening. A solid understanding of spiritual authority is vital to build your faith when casting out demons, healing the sick, and exercising your authority over the powers of darkness. Now, I want to stop her and say something. I think it was 10, maybe 12 years ago, God told me, I am taking my spirit out of the church. I'm taking healing out of the church because, first of all, they're walking all over the Holy Spirit. And second of all, they are with the healing. It's not really God healing them. They are working in a psychic realm, and God's not getting the glory. But now, I think it was a year ago now, God said, I'm bringing healing back into the church. But you have to know how to operate that in order to see God's miracles manifested. All right, so when we have been given authority to cast out demons, but instead we pray that God brings the demon out, we are basically asking God to do something that he gave us the tools to do ourselves. In other words, if you're doing a deliverance or just working with somebody and you're casting out a devil, and you say, God, you make this thing leave. God, you cast this thing out. You're doing something that's not right. God gave you the authority. Now, I did one time. We were doing deliverance, and a mental demon got onto somebody, and I did everything that I knew I had the power to do, and he did not become free. But then I said, God, please show up, because if you don't, this man's going to a mental institution tonight. And he had a sound mind before we started, but a mental demon came up, and I could not get him out. And so I said, and then I spoke to the angels, and I said, angels of God, you're supposed to come and assist me. And then I went on to explain to the angel what he had to do. And just like that, the man was set free. All right. So I was doing my part, but I know when I've reached and everything I can do. And I am humble enough to say, God, something's not working here, you know. And I want to see a person set free. I just don't want to say, well, God's going to do this thing for you. No, no. You are the deliverer. God said, you cast him out. All right? Jesus told us to cast out demons. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell us to ask God to cast out demons. But let's look at Matthew 17:14. And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to Jesus, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So right here, the people say that, you know, I worked one of my jobs at the college, and we had a person who had epileptic seizures all the time. That was a spirit operating that man. I didn't know this at that time. So right there, you can see that when somebody's like that, that's a spirit, and you have power and authority to cast it out, right? So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. What did Jesus do? He rebuked the demon. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? And so Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. What does he say? If you have faith. All right. Then Jesus goes on to say, however, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Now, I want to stop there. One time, my granddaughter was at my house because she couldn't speak. She was in an automobile accident, and she was also got crippled in it. And I brought her there because I knew that God could heal her. Okay. And I was praying with her and casting out these demons, but all the other congregation, they were just was mingling around, talking and carrying on. And this is what I've done. And it was a terrible thing to do. And I looked around and I could feel my faith just really rising to the point where she was going to be set free. But I looked up and I thought, nobody else cares about this. I quit. She is still can't speak and she's still crippled. But God wanted to heal her that day. But I took my eyes off of Christ and I placed them on the people, and she did not get healed. So if you're going to do deliverance, and I'm not going to get into Chris's message. He's going to speak about something Wednesday night that's very important. But there's going to be more deliverance being done, you know, all around the world. But if you're going to do deliverance and get your eyes off of yourself, get your eyes on Christ, and understand the power and authority he has given you. It's your job to get the person free, not God's. All right, now we're going to learn more about that in a minute. All right, let's look how authority works. Authority doesn't beg. Authority doesn't ask. Authority commands. When I used to do deliverances all the time, oh, it made me so mad when that devil wouldn't come out. I wasn't going to beg him for nothing. I wanted to kick him in the teeth. You know, not the person, the devil. But we just kept running on with it until they come out. They have to obey your voice. They have to, and they know that. It's you that give up. It's you that think, oh, well, God's going to do this some other time. And the devil's going to stay in there, and he's going to hold really super tight to whatever he's holding on to because he knows you. He knows you're weak. He knows that you're frail. He knows you're going to give up. He knows you're not going to keep going forth until he comes out. We are not told to ask God to cast out demons. We are told to do it ourselves. We are not told to beg demons to come out. We are told to cast them out. I love to watch Bob Larson. Him and I grew up together. When I first got saved, he was on the radio, and I heard him. I thought, wow, this man's awesome. All right, Matthew 8:8-10 says, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. God has given us power and authority through his word, through the name of Jesus Christ, and the devil has to listen to us. Verse 9 said, the man says, for I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, surely I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. See, the man's faith said, you don't have to, just speak a word, and he's going to be healed. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. It was all about faith. Now, I just want to stop there. The night somebody called me, and they were talking, and I knew immediately that there was a spirit talking to me, not the person. And then God, I was saying quietly to myself, as the person was talking, God, what am I dealing with here? And then God spoke to me what it was, and I started casting that out. And the person was out in their yard. They walked around throwing up all over the place. Is what he told. I mean, I knew they were throwing up because I could hear it. And they were said totally and completely free. But see, God didn't say, "I'm going to cast that out of him." He told me what the spirit was, and then I had to do the job of casting it out of him. Now I'm going to tell you something else. When one of my children had left home for a while and came back, and they were really messed up. And I said, come on, I'm going to do a deliverance on you. And they sat down in the chair and they said, go ahead, just try. Now, that was the demon. But, you know, somebody came in the room, so I didn't try. I just told the person, we'll continue this later. And we never got back. That person is still bound with that spirit. And God's told me, he's, don't try it right now because it's become stronger. You wait. I'll let you know when the proper time is to deal with this because it deals with other people also. If you're going to do a deliverance, you need to be bound and determined that you're going to do that deliverance come hell or high water. Don't start a deliverance and then drop it. Stay with it because what you do, you're stirring up those demons in there. And what you do is you cause this person more trouble than what they had before they came to you. All right, so if you're going to be a deliverance minister, I don't care who you are, who's listening or whatever, you have to have a conviction. You have to have a determination. I'm going to do this thing 100%. And if you're not going to do that, then don't do it at all. This is the way we were. Because God told me you're going to have a deliverance ministry. And every now and then, because of the deliverance ministers, God's saying you're getting ready to lose a deliverance ministry, and I've told you not to do that. So I have to get on the deliverance ministers and tell them, you know, something's not right. And because I'm not going to lose a deliverance ministry. And what Chris is going to teach Wednesday night is so awesome. And I know why God keeps telling me you cannot lose the deliverance ministry. All right. So if you want to know what it is, listen Wednesday night. Authority is exercised through our spoken word. The power, okay, is that where I'm at? The power of life and death are in the spoken word. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. You know, all right, talking about authority, the enemy knows that you have authority, all right? So somebody was talking to me yesterday, and they came back over to me, and they said, you have to tell me what to do. And I said, all right, God, you tell me what to say to this person. And God did. It was awesome. But that person knew that I had authority, and they were telling me, you, because they know I hear God's voice, you have to tell me what to do, because they were saying, I really don't know what to do right now. Do people know that you have power and authority? You know, the devil knows that you have power and authority. And he knows whether or not he needs to be afraid of you or not. Are you listening? And he knows that when you speak the word in the name of Jesus, they have to listen. They're not going to come dancing out of there. Come on. They've been in, they're rooted in there. They've been embedded in there for years, and they're not giving up their home. Come on. I don't care how they got there. They're in there, and they're not going to give up their home. All right, Jesus' own authority. One thing that made it clear that Jesus was the Son of God is because he exercised authority that nobody else had access to in history at that given time. But now we have the same authority because we're going to read scripture where Jesus, I give you all power and authority because I'm going to go to the Father. So now it's up to us as true children of God to start exercising the authority given to us and use the name of Jesus. Jesus cast out demons using his authority in Mark 1:27. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. Do you know why the church is looked down upon? Do you know why people are leaving churches? Because there's no authority against the demons in the church. You're going to find out Wednesday night that is about to change. But right now, that is the truth today. And I look at each one of you and say, it's your fault that the church is crumbling, because you did not take your rightful place in Christ Jesus, and you did not use your authority against Satan and command them demons to leave. All right? Jesus cast out demons with his spoken word. Matthew 8:16, when evening had come, they brought to Jesus many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. Come on, guys. There's more demon possession in the house of God and in the world now than there ever has been. You are not going to be able to spend 2 hours on one person. Come back next week. We'll spend 2 hours. Come back next week. We'll spend... No, you're going to have to get it done right there and then. Total demon possession released. And if you don't have commitment, you're not going to be able to do that. Come on. Why are young kids doing what they're doing? They're demon possessed. And you're like I read the other day, and I think Chris is going to bring it out. You know, God told us, I asked God, what's going on here? And he said, you're no longer working with demons. You're doing exorcisms now. And when I said that, people in this church got all excited. Not excited good. They were upset. Don't ever use that word. Don't ever use that word. People won't come to church. I don't care if you come to church or not. Jesus did exorcisms. And that's where the other churches now are headed to. You know, somebody has to pave the way. You know, God told us you're doing exorcism, and I didn't mind telling that, and we said that all the time. And now other churches are doing exorcism too, believe it or not. But somebody had to pay the price and pave the way. People shied away from me. People left the church. People talked about me. But they did the same thing to Jesus. Some of you don't have the backbone to be talked about. You talk about others, but you don't have the backbone to be talked about. You want everybody to like you. I'm going to tell you something. If everybody likes you, I'd check my walk with God. I really would. Because when you're really rooted and grounded in Christ, nobody likes you. And then the other preachers don't either, because they're jealous and there's so much competition in the body of Christ. It's pitiful. It really is. Also, John 5:8, Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. That's all Jesus said. Just rise, take up your bed and walk. Jesus knew the authority he had. He knew that when he said those words, it was going to happen. We say, Jesus is going to heal you. You don't know that no more than tiddly. You just don't know what to do next, so you just say that Jesus is going to heal you. Come on. Oh, I ruffled your feathers again. Yes, I have a sickness. I picked this up, so I'm going to say, yes, I have a sickness in my body. And yes, it sometimes gets me to where I can't even function. But God said, you are healed, and I'm going to raise you up, return your youth, and you're going to do greater things for me than you did before. So that's what I stand on. God's told me personally, I am healed. Are you listening? You have to walk on what God says to you. If you don't hear God's voice, then you don't have anything to stand on. All right? And I've never done a deliverance to anybody where God says, I'm going to heal you in 2 weeks. He's never said that. Or I'm going to make this devil leave in 2 weeks. He's never said that to me. Now, he might say that to you. And if you tell me he said that, I'm going to question God about it. That's what we're supposed to do, right? Try the spirits. Make sure you're doing the right thing. All right, Jesus has been given authority over everything in Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And he was talking to his disciples. Are you a disciple? Are you a follower of Jesus? All right, authority to heal. Jesus said to heal the sick in Matthew 10:7-8. Now, I think I got some of your demons riled up right now. And you're upset with me, and that's good. That's really good. All right, Matthew 10:7-8. And as you go, Jesus speaking, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The first thing Jesus told them to do was preach salvation. All right? Then heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. First of all, you have to preach salvation. But everybody tries to cast out demons. And if you watch Bob Larson, if he's working with somebody, he'll say, you're not even saved. And he'll make them go through the salvation message. And then the demons come out. But before that, the demons wouldn't even come out. All right? So he says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers. What's the next thing he says? Raise the dead. God has given us all power and all authority to raise the dead. He's let me do that. So I know what I'm talking about. You do have all power and all authority to raise the dead. I raised 3 men back from the dead, one of them 3 times, and then I raised a dog back from the dead. So I know he means animals too. All right. But about one person lost her salvation, I think, over that. They heard me say that, and then they brought me a cat. And God didn't raise the cat up, so they just quit church. You know, I'm not God. We have all power and authority, and I did. Oh, no, here's what I did. God said, I'm not going to raise that cat. He told me that before I left the house. Brother Chris and I went and prayed for this cat. I went to their house. He said, I'm not going to raise that cat. So I went and I prayed and everything, but I already knew the cat was not going to be raised back again. All right? And we tried to explain that to her, the person afterwards, and they got upset with me. So anyhow, I'm not God. All right, it is interesting here that Jesus didn't tell us to pray and ask God to heal the sick. He told us to heal the sick right here in this scripture. I have never seen where Jesus prayed, Father, please heal this person. Instead, we see that Jesus healed people with his spoken word. And see, this is where I have watched this a lot of times. People, when they do deliverance, don't really believe that the Spirit's going to leave. Or if they have to fight a little bit, then you know then they get scared, and then they say, well, you know, that you just have to wait. God's not ready to deliver you from that. That's not true. The enemy's going to fight you tooth and nail because he liked that person. All right, let me just tell you this. I'm working with a married couple, and They both have demons, but anyhow, I said to the man, I said, do you love your wife? And he said, well, I really don't. And you know what? That wasn't him. That was a demon speaking to me. You know, rolled his eyes and his head and licked his lips, and I sure do love her. You know? I said, devil, I'm not talking to you. You know, you have to know what you're doing when you're dealing with devils. And the reason why God's had me do this is because y'all are getting ready to really get into this really deep. All right? Now I've done lost my place, don't know that. All right, in John 5:8, Jesus told the man to rise, take up thy bed, and walk. The early church healed people in this same manner. And in Acts 3:6, Peter said, silver and gold have I none. You know, the lame man was laying at the gate. He wanted money. He said, I don't have silver and gold, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He said, I have something so much better for you. I have healing in the name of Jesus for you. See, it's easier for y'all to just go see somebody, you know, go to somebody and say, here's $20, just go on your way. It's really hard to sit down and do a deliverance. When them things are fighting, it's hard. And I've noticed in my years of doing deliverance and trying to raise up the deliverance team itself will get demonic because one wants to outshow the other one. You know, I have more power than you do. No, you don't. Get out of here with that junk. We're all given the same power and the same authority. And whenever you get into that, that's a devil in you raising up, that devil of pride. I want to show you that I can do more than you can do. They're right at that point, you can't do tiddly nothing. Because you just already got taken over by your spirit of pride. Right? Where am I at? Notice in Luke 9:1 that he not only gave his disciples authority over all devils, but also to cure diseases. In Luke 9:1, then he, Jesus, called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. Authority is exercised when there is a right to exercise it. Now, I already had this put together the other day, so I didn't put this together for nobody. All right. God wants to teach you this because you're getting ready to go into this real thick. And if you don't have too much guts, then don't go into it. Because devils can be really ugly. All right? All right, they weren't praying and asking God to heal people. They had the authority to heal, and they were exercising it with a spoken word, just as Jesus did. And God told me one time, he said, daughter, read the red letters about my son did, and then do what he did. And that's what, you know, I was doing deliverances. And that's what I did. I did exactly what Jesus did. And it works every time. James 5:13, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. See that? And the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. See that? When you pray for, why should you pray for one another? So that you can be healed. Isn't that what happened to Job? When he began to pray for his friends, isn't that when he got healed? I really exercise all your faith because you all pray for me. So whatever's going on in your life should be taken care of. Amen. I was thinking that last night. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. I can tell when one of you pray for me. I really can because whatever's going on lifts. And it doesn't come back again, but something else comes back. But that does not, because, and I have noticed one thing, the people who really love me the most, I'm sorry, but y'all don't love me the same, all right? Who love me the most, their prayers are more effective. And what I mean by that, they don't have any animosity toward me whatsoever. They just love me because I am dumb. You know, you have to be dumb to preach the word. You really do, you know, because if not, your little mind will get you in trouble. You just have to go and flow with it, whatever God tells you to do. All right, verse 17 says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Come on. How many of you are praying the rain to stop or to go or whatever? And it's happening. Think about this. Oh, I'm just so anointed. Make the wind stop blowing so you can fold a tarp. Come on. See what I'm saying? Come on, guys. All right, if you're so anointed, then why when you walk down why when you walk into church and somebody's sick, are they not healed? I just want you to think, all right? I'm just thinking back of what I used to do. Walk in here and walk around, and people had cancer and stuff that dropped off their bodies, they were healed. I want you to think about this. How anointed are you? How much power and authority do you really carry? And God said, when I bring you forth this time, you're going to do greater works than you've ever done. Don't want what you used to have. Are you guys listening? You know, just don't be saved. Dear Lord, be saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit, and get after the power and authority of Christ and change the world. Change the church. Well, the Holy Spirit can't change a church, so let's just go change the world, all right? God's looking for us to do that. But we just come and sit in church and sleep, act like we're under the anointing, and we're sleeping all the time. Your mouth is dropping open more and more every second. Come on. Let's be real. All right, we have authority over sickness, and therefore we can exercise our authority to bring about healing in another person's life. I also think it's interesting how Mark 16, 17, 18 tells us that healing can come through the laying on of hands. Mark 16, 17, 18, and these signs will follow those who believe, and we read it before, we'll read it again. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. The laying on of hands can encourage the transferring of power from us into the person and heal them. Just like the woman who felt power flow from Jesus when she touched the hem of his garment in Mark 5:30. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" All right, I'm going to give you an example. When I was first born again, I didn't know anything about anything. And I was sitting in a church, in the church I was attending at the time, and the pastor's husband walked by me. I felt something go out of my body. When I felt that go out of my body, he went, "Whoop!" And he just started dancing all through the church. And then afterwards, when he got through dancing, he said, "When I passed Sister Barbara, something hit me and caused me to dance. And I've been asking God for years to let me dance in the Spirit." And he danced in Spirit for about, I don't know, 10 minutes or so. But I literally felt that leave my body. That's not the only time. But if you're truly, truly following God, anchored in him, you will know when something leaves your body to touch somebody else. All right? Jesus said that those who believe will have the Holy Spirit flowing out of their innermost being in John 7:37. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Remember how God's been trying to get us to flow in the Spirit? And God keeps telling me that some of you in this church are not flowing in the Spirit. And if you're going to do signs, wonders, and miracles, and you're going to have the Spirit in its fullness, and it's the Holy Spirit flowing out of you that's doing all these marvelous things. All you are is a vessel. Sorry. If you magnify yourself, that's wonderful, but you're not working for God. It's the Holy Spirit working through it. All you are is a vessel. I thank God chose you as a vessel to work through instead of trying to glorify yourself. All right? Even Peter's shadow healed people in Acts 5:15. And then in Acts 5:12 through 16 said, and through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. They were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. So why aren't all of you doing signs, wonders, and miracles? It's not up to me to make you do signs, wonders, and miracles. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly, and they esteemed the apostles highly. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least a shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. See, if this church, if you're trying to outdo me or somebody else, then God can't really move in the church because there's division. See, what you have to do, you know, it's not so everybody can see you. You just go to the church and you just say, God, do what you need to do today, but heal the people. And if he never moves you, so people know that it's you that he moved through, so be it. Are you listening? There's too much I want to be seen in the churches. Luke 10:17, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Through thy name. Remember that the authority Jesus gives his people is not to be used in their name, but Jesus' name. Authority has been given to them who believe. See, what I that young lady wouldn't be where she's at today if I had kept my faith going and wouldn't have took my eyes off of Christ. I believed and I knew he wanted to heal her and would heal her because I'd seen too many miracles not to believe. Just like, what's his name, Brandon Lake says, I've seen it before and I know he'll do it again. All right. When you pray in Jesus' name, you immediately get God's attention. Philippians 2:9 says, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Right there it says that every knee will bow under the name of Jesus Christ. I don't care how embedded that devil is in a person, the name of Jesus will loosen that person, and that demon has to come out. And we all know people need more than one deliverance. We know that. But I'm not even, and God's, none if you do groupings, it wouldn't take as long. He just told me that. So we used to always do groupings, right? All right, when you pray in Jesus' name, you immediately get, I reread that, didn't we? Luke 10:17, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. But look what Jesus said. And Jesus said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Satan means nothing. It means absolutely nothing. In Jesus' name, the believer has authority to, what did I do here? Got my pages mixed up or something. Well, anyhow, we have authority to do all kind of things. Oh, here, all right. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. God has given us authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. It doesn't matter what Job experience you're going through. God is in control of that experience. He already has that enemy defeated. We just have to walk it out. You know, our faith, we're being tried. We're being tested. Our character is being improved with all these things that God has us going through. The devil's already defeated. You need to quit allowing him to make you believe he's not. You know, God told me, daughter, you have to go on with life. Life isn't stopping just because you realize I talk to you. He said, life still has to go on. Now, I thought that, you know. When you call upon someone's name, you are placing a demand on their ability. To know how much confidence you can place in a name, you must be able to measure the power behind it. The power back in the name of Jesus is the power of God Almighty himself. When I call you, I say, I want you to minister to this person, because God said to me, you tell them to minister to that person. And so when I tell them that, the power of God is with them, and God's going to work through them. That person isn't going to do it, but God is going to do it. All right? First John 3:22 says, and whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. Love, 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 love. There's that love thing again. As he gave us commandment, the mighty, powerful name of Jesus is available to you. One thing you have to do, saints of God, you're going to have to get your love walk right. That's why you don't have power and authority. Your love walk is not right. You can't even love yourself, let alone love the unlovable, right? Some of you can't love your kids. I know they're acting like heathens, but why are they acting like that? What kind of example did you give them? You know, I have kids who are acting like heathens too, so I'm talking to myself too, right? How did you train your kids up? If you train your kids up in the way of the Lord, that they're not going to depart from that. They're going to come back to God eventually. So if they get off the path like you did for 15, 20, 25 years, they're eventually going to come back. If you taught them the truth and taught them about God, they're going to come back to God. You know, you can't live their life for them, even though we would like to. I don't think we do a good job, though. I really don't. We have a hard time living our own life, right? All right, God's love motivates him to use his power. In 1 John 4:16 says, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. When you believe the love he has for you, you will begin to realize you have as much right to use the name of Jesus as anyone else. Believe the love God has for you. I just think I'm the most precious thing in the world to God. Every one of you should think the same way. You. He hung on that cross just for you. Don't worry about the rest of the world. He hung on that cross for you. And whenever you get that into your spirit, you realize how much he loves you, then you know he hung on that cross for everybody else too. Even the worst sinner. But see, because you haven't yet, you know, gotten rooted and grounded in you that he hung on that cross for you and he loved you that much and he died for you, went through all the mess and died for you, you're not going to ever be able to help anybody else. And if you're a true child of God, you're going to suffer. I'm sorry you don't like that word, but you will suffer if you're a true child of God. If not, the devil doesn't care about you because he already has you. Before I was born again, I always went to church and never did anything wrong, but the devil never bothered me either. And once I became born again, all hell broke loose in life. I said, God, what is going on here? And you know, the devil then knew I was a threat. Once you become born again and really sink your teeth into God, you're a threat to the devil, and he's going to come after you with everything that he has. I want you to remember this and quit complaining. Quit complaining. I'm talking to myself too, you know. Come on. All right, you got to believe the love God has for you. Once you recognize the reality of God's love in your life, you realize he has not left you defenseless and powerless against evil. When you pray, use it freely and confidently in the face of the enemy, of your enemy. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. You know, when I had COVID, I died twice. I know I died twice. All this water went off my body. My body was perfectly formed. I looked just like I did before I ever got sick. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed that day and that night. And in the morning I got awake, I looked like this again. All the fluid had come back in my body because I prayed myself back to life. That happened two times during COVID. There's still times now when I have to pray all night long. Even though y'all are praying, I have to pray all night long and tell the devil what he's not going to do with me. God said, you can't kill me. You can do anything else, but you can't kill me, and I'm not going to die. I'm going to live and fulfill my job with the Father. I'm on assignment, and I haven't finished it yet. I'm sorry, guys. You're going to have to do your work, too. It doesn't matter how many people are praying for you. You're going to have to show the devil that you know who you are, and you know what God said, and you have to show him you really want to live and not die. You're going to have to be a fighter. You're going to have to be a fighter. Instead of beating each other up, why don't you beat the devil up? You know, why don't you fight for your own life, your own family, your church, you know, your government? We just so idly by and we complain about everything and we don't pray about nothing. No, that messed some people. I pray all the time. Well, then you right there, you have a problem. You got offended. You know? Come on. All right, it's also helpful. This is the last thing I'm going to say. It's also helpful to point out that our spiritual authority is accessed by faith. There is a lot to be learned from the story told in Mark 9:17 through 29 about how faith allows us to access our authority. Okay, let's just stop there. Remember that I'm going to tell you the story about the dog. Remember when I hit the dog? I did it by accident. Hit the dog in the head with a broom. He died. And my grandson, I was a deacon in the church. I'm going to tell everybody you killed my dog. You better pray him back to life. I said, honey, I can't pray a dog back. If you don't tell these people, pray this dog back to life, I'm going to tell everybody in church Sunday that you killed my dog and you're a deacon. I got down on my knees. I prayed for that dog like you wouldn't believe. And I did beg God then. I said, God, please, you've got to bring this dog back to life in the name of Jesus. But then, you know what, as I prayed, I felt my faith way down in the bottom part, start building up. And then I got excited. And he kept saying, you better keep praying. And next thing the dog went, eep. You know, he had died, his tongue was hanging out, you know, and he pooped and peed himself and all that junk. He went, eep, and pulled his tongue back. No, he didn't pull his tongue back in, because he left his tongue hang out for a couple of days to torment me. But he came back to life. He came back to life. Because I said, God, I've got to raise this dog. Come on, if God will do it for me, I'll do it for you. But I had to use my faith, and he didn't do it in 2 seconds either. I was on my knees for a while, maybe 15, 20 minutes. Are you understanding this? I'm hearing God say, you can do all things through Christ Jesus. And you know, you can't do it just by sitting, okay, God, now I'm ready. I'm going to raise the dead. And then just sit there. I, in the name of Jesus, raise up. You can't do that. You have to get your faith working. You have to pray and mean what you're praying. The one guy that I raised from the dead 3 times, was at the funeral home, and I said to his brother, I'm going to go up there and raise him up by that casket. He said, sit down. I said, I know. I said, I can feel it in my spirit. If I go up there, he'll raise back up again. And he held me down and said, they'll put you in jail. But later on, I realized that that was the best thing, because the man had died 3 times, and each time he came back, and then God, he's the one where God told me, he says, I'm going to take him. Remember that story? And I said, no, please, God, don't. He was a young guy. And he said, if I take him now, he'll go to heaven. If I don't, he won't ever come with me. I'll go to hell. Up to you. He said, if you want him to live, I'll bring him back. And I said, nah, go ahead and take him. So here I am in a funeral home after doing all that with God, wasn't raising from the dead again. But I knew my spirit, if I get up there, I had enough faith for that. You're going to have faith. It was a Smith Wigglesworth went into funeral homes and picked people up, slammed them up against the wall, and commanded life to come in them until they actually breathed and came to life. See, that's what I was thinking about. If he can do it, I can do it. You know, because God said all, you know, that all of us have the same power and authority. You're closer to God. No, I'm not. You can be just as close as I am. You can have the same power and authority, but you're going to have to be humble. You're really going to have to be humble, because your pride stinks. And God doesn't work with pride at all. All right, I've done lost my place again. I want to read this. Okay, when the disciples came across an unusually strong demon that wouldn't budge, in verse 17, Jesus made it clear that they lacked faith by calling them faithless. And that's in verse 19. Okay. He also made it clear that some demons are so strong that a higher than usual level of faith is required to cast them out. Are you seeing all this? And verses 28 and 29, and that we can gain that higher level of faith through prayer and fasting. And that's in verse 29. So it's the devil doesn't want to budge. And if you haven't already fasted and prayed, you might want to stop and fast and pray and come back to it some other day. Or you just have to make, you know, like I did with the dog, just say, God, you got to do this. You know, you're supposed to honor my faith. I'm using Jesus' name. I went through the whole gamut. And I didn't quit, because I didn't want him to go tell them that I did that. Maybe I have to have a little bit of fear. I don't know. Of being exposed. All right, Matthew 17, 20. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Now, I know that the church is going through at least 10, 12 years of God not moving. But God did that deliberately because his church is totally messed up. And in those 10 or 12 years, God's been shaking the church. And God's been shaking everybody out that would not line up with his word. But that shaking is now over, and God's going into the world and bringing the people from the world into the house of God. And we're going to see a great move of God like we've never seen before. And I'm excited about that. And I know that the people who have stood with God whenever nobody else would stand, and you've gone through all the trials and the persecutions and everything else that went on, God is going to use you mightily. But stay humble before a humble God. Jesus was very humble. You cannot have any pride whatsoever. I'm sorry, you just can't. You know, I'm going to share this. I was real prideful about how I carried myself and how I dressed and how I looked. Because my mother always, and my father both always told me that I need to, when I was out, I had need to portray myself as a true person, you know, not a slouch or whatever. And so when all this weight came on my body, that was horrible. I really think God might be humbling me to some point in that. You can say whatever you want to say, but there's a reason for it. I know there is. And when God's ready, he's going to do everything he said he's going to do to me. So what's going on in your life? Are you really so truthful with yourself that it's raw truth? You know, just be truthful about yourself. Who are you and what are you really? Can people look at you and say, I can do it too because they did it? Or are you out there puffing yourself up and they can never reach your height? Because you're showing up a picture that's not even true. Come on. You have to think about Jesus. He walked dusty streets, right? Roads, whatever they were. And he preached the gospel. And the only time he complained, of course, is when he went to the mountain. I really believe it's all Mary. He went to the mountain all the time because he had to talk to God and say, hey, come on now, Father. Really? Isn't that what we do sometimes? We go into our prayer closet and we say, now, God, really? Maybe you don't. I do. Because sometimes you think, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And God does never call you to do anything that you cannot accomplish. Amen. Well, whether you like it or not, deliverance ministers are needed. And they're going to be even more so needed. After you hear the message on Wednesday night, you understand why. And so if you want to be a deliverance minister, you're going to have to understand that you have all power and all authority, just not some. And so if you don't know that this morning, God wants to, if you come to the altar, he wants to embed within you the knowledge that he has given you all power and all authority. And today he's even going to make that power and authority even stronger. You'll know without a shadow of a doubt that God is with you, and you do have all power and all authority, and every devil has to bow his knee at the name of Jesus. Not at your name, but at the name of Jesus. And I'm hearing God, you have to quit pretending that you're a deliverance minister and truly be a deliverance minister. Because he's going to cast you out if you're not being a true deliverance minister. So, you know, don't come up here if you're just playing around. But if you really want God to use you in that area, because some of you in here, you've been delivered. And you know what it is to be free from torment and pain. And why don't you want to help somebody else? So the altar's open for that if you really want to be a true deliverance minister, and you want that anointing in you that you know that God has given you all power and all authority.